Amen. Thank you, choir. We also turn to a New Testament lesson today from the book of Acts. This is the traditional reading for Pentecost, this reading, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. I'll just make a note with you that oftentimes it's suggested to be the first reading of the day, but I have always felt like that was really mean to do to lay readers, because you will find out. But listen now for a word from God as we read Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church. We have just read, as we do every year, how the Holy Spirit kicked in the door and divided tongues as of fire descended on each of the apostles, enabling them to do far greater things than they ever hoped or dared to dream. And today, on this Pentecost Sunday, we name and we claim that the Spirit of the living God falls afresh on us.
Thank you.
the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus falls afresh on us, descends upon us each individually as children of God, just as it says in our Acts reading today. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Whenever I think about the power of the Holy Spirit, whenever I'm confronted by a text about the Holy Spirit, I do what we all do. I think of St. Basil the Great. Here he is, an icon of St. Basil. Now, he didn't call himself St. Basil the Great. Hello, how do you do? My name is St. Basil the Great. That's not what he said. He was just known as, around the neighborhood, as Basil of Caesarea. And he was and became a skilled administrator in the early church and a theologian in his own right. He wrote a treatise called On the Holy Spirit, a very creative name. I bet you can't imagine what On the Holy Spirit is about. But he wrote it, and it really helped the early church to imagine and think about the Holy Spirit in more complex and interesting ways. I want to share with you a quote I shared with you in the fall, but it's very important, and it's an important quote from his treatise. He writes, "Like sunshine, which permeates all the atmosphere, spreading over land and sea, and yet is enjoyed by each person as though it were for him alone, so the Spirit pours forth his grace in full measure, sufficient for all, and yet is present as though exclusively to everyone who can receive him. The Spirit landing on us like sunshine, pouring out upon us like summer rains, surrounding us like the air we breathe. The Spirit is everywhere, and it descends on each of us like grace in full measure," Basil says. "Not because of how good we are, not because of how pretty we are, not because of how smart we are, not because of how much money we have, not because of us at all. The Spirit is poured out upon us because Jesus promised. He promised us. He said, I will never abandon or forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans. I give you a paraclete, a comforter, an advocate, the Spirit of truth, my Holy Spirit, and my Spirit will be with you." Luke calls the Holy Spirit in the first chapter of Acts the promise of the Father. He says, "Wait here until the promise of the Father comes to you." And today we know that God has sent his Spirit upon us, that God's Spirit is Jesus' Spirit, that the Spirit of the living God falls afresh on us. Living God falls afresh on us as individuals, but it also falls afresh on us as the church. The church is born and lives and moves and has its being in and under the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God is poured out upon the church today. I want to show you a picture of the cover of a book. Now, just don't focus on the lovely blue words there, the glory of the Lord, a theological aesthetics. No one has any idea what that means. Focus on the name above, Hans Urs von Balthasar. What a name! What a name. Can you imagine his first day in kindergarten having to spell that out? This name has chased me down since seminary. I had no idea about anything about this person. I assumed it was a man because of Hans. It made me think of Hans and Franz from Saturday Night Live. But I just wanted to know more because of that name. And I have to tell you, I was going to say that I am obsessed with Hans Urs von Balthasar, but I looked up obsession just to be on the safe side. And the definition of obsession is kind of negative. Like, so that if I did say I was obsessed about something, I would expect that one or more of you would call somebody and let them know the pastor's obsessed about something, and that's not good. It's probably something that would go in the DSM-5 or whatever. But so I looked for, like, well, what's a synonym that's like one step above obsession that has all of the, you know, kind of the ooh, but none of the And so I want to say I am preoccupied with Hans Urs von Balthasar. He is a Swiss Catholic theologian, and when he speaks about the Holy Spirit in his book on prayer, which has a very creative title, it's called Prayer, he talks about the elements of the Spirit, that the Spirit is wind or breath. And like wind, the Spirit is breathed out on the apostles, just as Jesus breathes on them in the quiet Pentecost in the Gospel of John and says, "Receive my Holy Spirit." That fire is another element of the Spirit, that the Spirit leads the apostles like the pillar of fire led the Israelites in the wilderness. The Spirit leads us out into the world, no matter the coldness we face, no matter the night that dwells within the hearts of men and women, the Spirit leads us like a pillar of fire. And the supreme element of the Holy Spirit is water, the water in which Jesus is bathed at his baptism, the water in which the church is bathed in Pentecost. So whenever I read this passage from Acts 2, I see all these elements there. I see the fire descending on each apostle. I see the wind blowing in the room through the windows. But I also imagine a huge torrent of water just pouring through and pushing all the disciples out. So that when it says, at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. I imagine the disciples standing at the bottom of the hill, soaking wet because of the water of the Spirit that has drenched them. As the church, under the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to make disciples and change lives. And so today we continue to do that. We continue to live into that calling by confirmation. We're confirming 5 students today, Troy and Jacob and Ellen and Lauren and Dylan. A couple of them got confirmed first hour. 3 of them are being confirmed right now. Well, a little later than now, but you know what I mean. I wonder if these students have begun to feel the breath of the Spirit in their lives. I wonder if they've sensed the burning of the Spirit on their faces. I wonder if they felt the droplets of the Spirit in their hearts. Today they confirm the promises that were made for them when they were baptized, and they take on those promises. Today the students say yes to God, even though God said yes to them eons ago. Today, these students remind us of what we are to do and to be as the church in and under the power of the Holy Spirit. We're called to make disciples. We're called to change lives. We should never not want to do that. Today, the church, the Spirit of the living God, falls afresh on us. The Spirit of the living God falls upon us as individuals and as the church, but let me also say that the Spirit is active in the world. The Holy Spirit today, we recognize, is also active in the world, alive and well and working. Sometimes the Spirit is working through us individually, nudging us to do things we don't normally do, that we maybe don't feel comfortable doing. And the Spirit is active in the church, certainly as she is obedient to its voice, when she rightly proclaims the gospel and administers the sacraments, when the church is busy making disciples, changing lives, the Holy Spirit is working through her. But we also want to remember that the Holy Spirit isn't limited by us. The Holy Spirit isn't dependent upon us to act. Just as the Spirit hovered over the waters of creation, breathed life into clay, led a people out into the wilderness and wildness, the Spirit doesn't depend on us. We depend on the Spirit. And so the Spirit is alive and well and working in the world. And so when you are driving, as you do in Tampa Bay, along with tens of thousands of your friends, driving, you might listen on public radio to Mahler's Eighth Symphony. It might come on. And you hear those thousands of voices being paid union scale to sing, "Come, come, Creator Spirit." You might catch the tail end of John Coltrane's A Love Supreme, when with his saxophone, he sings those words, thank you, Lord, over and over again. You might look at a picture like this from our own Floridian, Salvador Dali. Now, I don't know how the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York got this one, but they did, those New Yorkers. Can't trust them. George Steinberg. So if you see this, when you encounter this, Christ is on the cross, but we notice that it's three-dimensional. It's a three-dimensional cross, maybe making us think of God's transcendence, the way it's coming at us into the future, into this moment. And yet Christ's face is turned away, reminding us that just as we think we know everything, we're not seeing everything. And there is a hiddenness in God. When we encounter forces like this in our lives, we're aware that the Spirit has given gifts to people we know nothing about, and yet the Spirit is alive and working. It tunes us in and tunes us up to all God is doing in the world without us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this, friends. The world is a scary place. And there are forces in the world that want us to be scared. The scareder we are, the better it is for them. But that's not the last word. That's not the last word. The last word is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is with us. The promise of the Father has come, and we do not need to be afraid. In this world that God so loved, he sent his only begotten Son. The Spirit of the living God falls afresh on us.